Welcome to Behind the SaaS. I'm your host, Aaron Howerton. And this week's episode is recorded on AirPods because in the middle of recording, my blue snowball microphone has decided to stop being picked up appropriately by my Mac. I think it's probably this cheap KVM switch that I got. That's what happens when you go cheap. And when I say cheap, it was still $70 or $80. But at any rate, we're going to plow ahead. I just want to get this out. I've got to work on my gear. This gives me a good reason to buy something new. You didn't come here for any of that. You came here because you want to understand what it looks like when you put partner ops under rev ops. That's the conversation we're having this week. Now, it's a little bit less tactical in terms of systems and tools, but it's still very relevant because right now partner operations is a growing focus. It's a growing piece of the SaaS system, especially with an increased focus on ecosystem and all the fancy things you're hearing fly around with different terms and concepts and terminology and questions about what does it mean for somebody to be in partner ops. Well, this week, a question came from our community. A friend of mine named Jason Lawson asked a good question about what happens when you put partner ops in RevOps. Now, this is a great question because it's a leader showing an interesting concern for the impact of a role alignment on his team. I just like that. We're concerned about how reorging is going to impact the team and how that could impact their career and their aspirations and things like this. But also it's strategic because he's trying to get a sense of how it's going to impact the scope of the work he can get done for this person. That's completely reasonable. I really appreciate that he sees that ahead of time. And finally, I just like that it created engagement. So this week, Jason's question is pretty straightforward, and we're going to engage responses from some people in our community that are partnership operational professionals. All of this, folks, is coming out of partnership leaders. So if you're looking for a place to belong, you are in partnerships in any function, leadership, marketing, program management, operations, analyst, deal payment, whatever, it's a great place to go and learn extensively. There is a Slack channel basically with so much content, and that's not even it. There's events depending on where you live in the world. Like I live in Northwest Arkansas, not a lot going on here for partnerships. If you're in the area, give me a call. Let's hang out and have a beer. Otherwise, you know, the places, big areas, you can get to events. There's an events calendar at the website. Go check it out, figure it out, follow my referral link or just sign up. I don't care. Just get involved. It's a great place to be. And for operations professionals, I love it because it's creating a space for us to go in and get some stuff done. Now, on to the podcast. I've got a response from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people in the community that have some level of experience with partner operations or programmatic leadership and guidance. Most of these people, I think all of them actually have hands-on experience doing some level of operations. I'm going to start and just go through their responses. Here's what happens. Here's what they think about when you put partner operations in the RevOps team. Jason Ng, Senior Manager, Partner Operations and Strategy at Deel. Jason, if I said your name wrong, I owe you a drink. We've not talked about that. I apologize. Jason says overall, and he sits under RevOps, he likes it because he feels directly plugged in. He can get strategic projects mindset and visibility and bring that back to partnerships that he might not get otherwise. And that's true. Having worked in a dedicated function, I know that that can be true. You can lose visibility. And one of the things you fight for in partner operations is visibility. In partnerships in general, hey, does the org know we're here? How come they didn't think about this when they changed the sales process or how we structured lead management or lead distribution or bought new platforms? Constantly there. Also, it helps give him a neutral position to come to when he's asking the business for support. Because he rolls up to RevOps, he's got a broader focus than your typical person, and he likes that. It doesn't look like he's just coming from partnerships and partnerships only. Now, the downside is if you're in RevOps in a smaller org, you're probably going to get tasked with non-partnership work. And if that's what you want, that goes into aspirations and career. Speaking of aspirations and career, Meredith Hayward, the GTM Partnerships and Strategy Operation Manager at Recharge, specifically focuses on that and says, this really depends on what you want your ops to be, the size of company, and what the person's aspirations are. She didn't want to move into RevOps because she wanted to stay strategic. Going into GTM strategy and partner ops allowed her to do that, but she couldn't have done that if she stayed in RevOps. So she has kind of a blended model as well. She has a partner ops, RevOps analyst, and in the RevOps org, has dotted lines to her. So that gives her visibility into RevOps and someone to help champion things in RevOps, but also lets her focus on partner ops that are not revenue related, like program management, strategy, et cetera. Reporting into RevOps for her makes sense when the majority of the role is focused on RevOps tasks, When there's more overall resources, increasing the potential for partner ops to become isolated if they're not embedded, or you want to create more visibility and alignment for partnership within RevOps. It makes reporting into partnerships make sense when the partnership leader wants more control over partnership ops projects, or when the role is more focused on program management and support and less on the typical RevOps functions. I can agree with that. I turned down a role toward the end of last year because after I got into the interviews and got through it, it was very clear. It was a RevOps function, a RevOps focused role without much of the broader operational appeal that I was really looking for. Or if the company is just smaller and you need attention on specific projects within partnerships, a lot of time that first hire is really understanding of systems and tools, not doing a lot of the RevOps function you're gonna coach. And I still think a good ops person on the partnership side, you still want your RevOps team to understand where partnerships fits. And it's kind of this additional data layer and slicer for how you see all the other data. So I don't think it's that, it can be hard to get to without the right architecture, but I don't think it's rocket science. Let's put it that way. Katrina Penny, a friend of mine, partner operations and experienced director, may be looking, keep your eye out for her next big thing. So if you get to know Penny, you might find yourself some really great talent to bring onto your team as she starts to think about reentering the market. This seems to be more common, she says. They kept their partner team separate where she was at, but they were 100% aligned with a joint weekly call. So in this case, she had a partnership operational team that had two or three people, maybe four, handling different pieces. They felt with more than just the CRM build, commissions, and forecasting. They felt with program build, management, including like system management for the PRM, partner onboarding queries, team support, and so much more. Like you could have a partner support rep who supports partners at the frontline field support for when your partner managers are out, or for your lower tier partners who don't have a dedicated PAM. Maybe you're breaking your program up, based on revenue and performance, they get dedicated account management at a certain level. You still might need that team support rolling in through operations, or at least being influenced by operations as a part of customer success. I.e., partner success could make sense. She says, if partner ops has moved into RevOps, look to ensure there isn't scope team or time where you're losing them away from priorities. This echoes what Jason said. In a smaller company, you could see your partnership person pulled away into RevOps functions because they need the capacity. Now, Jason Breed, who's Global Lead Strategic Initiative at SIs over at AWS, he just says, put a highlight on understanding the role of the partner ops and the roles of the RevOps person. Basically, make sure, again, as you've seen this echoed, what are they going to do? What's their role? You get efficiencies, but you can also get overlaps in needs. So he's saying the thing that's him to best is simple, is simply understanding and agreeing what you need out of the role. Define it, define deliverables, get your KPIs set up, and hold people accountable. And he also throws a nice little chart, and I copied this, got his permission. This is from the SEB School, S-E-B-S, SEB School, SEB, S-E-B School.com. There's a program you can get access to. I'm not affiliated, by the way, so this isn't a pump. I haven't signed up for it myself. But it actually highlights partner ops with these lines across process and strategy, data insight systems, and enablement. This is how I see it. I can see a partner operational manager role, which I would love to see these tied to experience, language two, driving across all four of these functions in the organization so that they have some say in the systems, tools, and delivery of a lot of these things. Darren Bibby, the last one here, owner of Aligned Partner. I like Darren. He starts off strong to me. He says, partner operations encapsulates many things. Now, for him, it was mainly the angle of revenue and sales ops. But you want these to be next to others and have a sense of neutrality. But he also says, to have this work well, you need a partner program and strategy team sitting under partnerships, driving what exactly should be worked on in ops. Now, I think this comes back down, commentary from my part. I think that comes down to depending on the experience of your operational professional. Are they equipped to develop strategy? Have they been around long enough to know we have an agency program? So with agency, we need to take on challenge X, Y, and Z, make sure we have intake for partners. There's a good referral rhythm, that signature is complete. We do annual review. Like, do they know what to help bring strategically to set up without the guidance from, say, an agency manager, right? So there's some experience piece there, but they should definitely be helping sign off on needs and user stories and things that they want. I think that's basically what's influencing here for Darren's comment, right? Just make sure you have balance, that you know what they want and that you're getting the direction you want out of the role. That's a recurring theme. All right, my wrap up this week, right at 10 minutes. I'm going to try to finish in the next two. Try not to make this a 12-minute podcast, I promise y'all. Having worked in both roles, I can attest to all this above, right? And I like Jason Breed's final thought. The partner ops role will need more skills, usually, than a single person can have. Regardless of where I've ever been embedded, whether it's ops, channel, and rev ops or systems, the one thing is consistent. There's a broad role as any, and one of my primary efforts has always been being an advocate for channel and partnership needs to the rest of the organization. The projects I work on are going to vary. It's one of the things I love about the industry. The right type of partner ops role for me is very broad. It gives me focus on a lot of different pieces of the company and opportunity to take on projects across the board. It is a highly, if not critically, cross-functional role to me, and it'll demand a variety of skills depending on how the role is shaped. There's room for junior analysts, there's room for new hires and entry level, there's room for experienced leadership as this function gets developed. I really hope to see this role continue to get a broader understanding. I hope to see its relationship to partner experience become more clear to other people because it is clear to me, and that we see increased professional pathways for the current practitioners. Folks, we need ways to promote and grow the function. It can't just always stop at director of partner operations. We need to have this connected into ecosystem and into experience with comparable roles being developed at larger companies. I think it's all up in the air, right? But if you're in partner ops, start asking for what you want. It's the only way you're ever going to get it. A couple of resources to highlight: the partner ecosystem roadmap that Jared Fuller put out a while back. I looked over that, added some couple of notes. I'm not going to go deep here too. It's just highlighting where he's putting partner ops and how it supports certain functions. I think that's relevant there. But I also think that I'm going to go back to Marco DePaulis again, and his great stories. There's going to be a training on it or a session this week on LinkedIn. I'll have that linked here too. He's going to talk about this fake crazy first year and his first hire. Partner operations. I'm going to lean on that story so heavy, you better believe it for the next year. And then also quick update on the 9-box plan. Blake Williams at AmFactor gave me really, really good context. I talked about the prioritization. I talked about strategy without prioritization. I just said, here's your box, here's a strategy, here's what you can do. Blake came back in from AmFactor. It's what he does for a living, folks. So definitely listen to Blake and says, hey, let's prioritize based on financial value. Prospect to prospect is not, there's no money in that. That's not your high trust, high money, high value category. They won't focus on that unless there's just nothing else to go after. So that's your bottom tier. I think it's great context, folks. Thanks for another week. Hopefully this sounds okay. I'm gonna listen to it. Thanks for another great week. Thanks for another time. To Wendy Nguyen, who I met last week, and the hiring manager that told her to listen to my podcast. Wow. That was the biggest compliment ever. I still owe you some resources. I haven't forgotten. They're coming. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Good luck partnering.